Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of Old Geek, Young Geek. I'm Scott Pell, the Young Geek, and with me, as always, is Steven Johnson, the Old Geek.
That's right.
So, today, we're going to talk about video games, once again, and we're going to talk about sort of like the life lessons and the takeaways of video games, because everybody says they're a waste of time. I think otherwise. I think that there's a lot that can be learned from them. And, Steve, you don't think so.
Well, it depends on what you mean by wasting time. Like, whether something is a waste of time. Because, I mean, existentially, what does it mean to waste time?
Yeah, you know, that's a really big question. And
exactly.
Yeah, you know, John Lennon of the Beatles said, time isn't wasted if you're spending it doing something that you love. So, I think, you know, that's how I feel when I play video games. You know, I love playing video games and love doing them. And I think that there's a lot of value in video games and like enjoying yourself playing video games. And you know, there's things that we can take away from them that are like in a lot of different video games or in specific video games that sort of teach like life lessons, more or less.
Okay. I can say without fear of contradiction for myself that I have never, ever learned a lesson from playing a video game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've never applied anything that I learned in a video game into my real life. With one possible exception, which we'll talk about later, but as far as any lessons or any guidance or anything, I don't think I've ever gotten any from a video game. And this is not judging video games at
right.
all. It's just I just don't think I really ever have.
That's just your experience. But
right.
I don't think that that's true entirely, because like you grew up playing a lot of video games, right? Like
sure.
That was your thing.
Yes.
I think that like in small subtle ways, like they have affected you. Like you
Yeah, okay.
You have been changed after playing a video game so many times, or you know, just in small ways. I mean, like, I think the most obvious one with like video games, or you know, like old or new, is you know, if at first you don't succeed, continue and retry. You know,
right.
So like, I think that video games teach a lot about perseverance, especially like when you're going for like the harder difficulties or challenging yourself. I think that's a theme in video gaming, is that they present challenges, impossible choices, just difficult obstacles to overcome. And so with perseverance, you know, no matter how many tries that it takes you, you strive to achieve and overcome whatever obstacle or objective is in your way. So I think that we can take that and like small, it's pretty obvious and it's pretty basic.
Yeah, but unlike actual obstacles, video game obstacles are designed for you to overcome them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
Real obstacles are not designed for you to overcome them. They're designed, you know, they're obstacles.
But I'd like to think, though, that, like, you know, nothing's impossible. And I think that, like, with enough perseverance and with enough, you know, wit, know-how, and, you know, just... I think that you can accomplish anything that you put your mind to, Steven. I think that, like, you know, nothing... I don't think that anything is impossible. And I don't think that, like, just because you fail doesn't mean that you could give that you should give up. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to, you know, retry with the exact same scenarios, but, you know, there's a takeaway from that. Because when we die in a video game, like, okay, I died there because I did that, or something happened that caused me to die.
Right.
So I'm going to look out for that next time. So when you try your hand at something, you know, in real life, you say, okay, I messed up there. I could have done better there. So when you take another crack at it or do something in the future, you learn from that mistake. And that's just how life works. But, you know, I think that in a more tangible and, you know, visceral sort of way, video games can kind of, you know, teach us that and show us that.
See, I'm of the opposite idea that video games are an escape from real life and a distraction,
yeah.
And they don't have they have very little bearing on anyone's actual existence. Like I just don't think. I mean, I don't know. Okay, if you're gonna say that you learn lessons from video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the flip side of that argument is then you got to consider, okay, well, if video games are affecting how you live your life, then aren't all the people who say video games make people violent right? I mean, then they're correct. If video games affect the way people live their lives, then...
To be honest, yes. I do.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I do think that video games make people violent. It may not be physical violence. It may not even be, like, verbal abuse. But that happens a lot on the internet, as we've seen and discussed.
Right.
But I feel like gamers are much more intense with how they overcome objections and stuff like that, because that's how video games are structured. You know, we have an objective, we have a structure, or like we have some kind of obstacle in our way that says, you know, this is an issue, this is a problem. So when we see an issue or a problem in our life, we attack it. You know, we do what we, you know, we do what we can to overcome that obstacle.
So you think that people who play video games are more likely
Yes.
to face problems head-on than people who don't play video games?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, I could not possibly agree with you less. Because, look, when people play video games, often they are trying to avoid something in their actual life. Because video games are very time-consuming and very engrossing.
Yeah.
And they're a way of decompressing from what you're actually doing in life. And I think the more video games you play, the more it indicates that you are not, you're doing exactly the opposite of facing an obstacle or a challenge. You're using a video game to avoid facing an obstacle or challenge, which is great. I mean, I look, avoiding facing obstacles and challenges is one of my favorite things in life. So,
yeah. I mean,
so I love video games, but I don't think it's right to say, I don't think it applies to most people who play video games to say that they're more likely to face obstacles head on. I think it's totally the opposite.
Well, I mean, yeah, that kind of thing does exist. Like, where, you know, we just run away to our World of Warcraft or Witchers or Dragon Ages or Mass Effects, whatever.
Sure.
Like, we all have our vices and, you know, we play video games for escapism. And escapism
right.
is fine. You know, we can do that
yes.
with, we can do that with anything. Like, whether it's books, television, movies, anything. And video games just consume a lot more time because there's a lot more to be done with that medium than, say, a book, because it's very limited in, you know, what it... I mean, like, video games have their limits too, but, you know, we have, you know, sort of our own sort of games or side quests or things that we try to achieve, you know, outside of the rules of the game. So,
right.
Yeah.
Video games are more time-consuming than
yeah.
other kinds of entertainment.
Sure. I mean, like, so take something like Fallout, where you can do, like, the main quest, which will take about, like, 5 or 6 hours, or you could spend hours and hours doing side quests, exploring, discovering things, and yeah, just basically wandering around. But, you know, when it comes to, like, the escapism thing, I still think that there's things to be taken away from that with, like, overcoming objections, because there's still those challenges, there's still the adversity there. You're not safe when you're in Fallout, you're not safe when you're in Witcher or World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but everything in all those games that you mentioned is designed to give you a feeling of empowerment.
Yeah.
That's what those games are for. So they're designed so to present you, the player, with obstacles that you can overcome.
Right.
And in so doing, make yourself feel as if you've accomplished something. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
that's the idea.
But
in the real world, obstacles are not there to make you feel like you've accomplished something. Obstacles are there for a variety of different reasons, and
yes.
often they're totally arbitrary.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? And often there are obstacles that cannot be overcome in actual life.
Yeah, and that's,
you know?
And that's why we play video games, is because, like, we want to feel empowered. We want to feel significant.
Right, which is totally important, and people really have to have that in their life. I think we would all go mad if we didn't have that.
Yeah.
And so I'm not downing the importance or the value of video games. I'm just saying, like, I don't see how they apply to real obstacles. I mean, maybe in some very, very abstract way they do, but I don't think in any tangible way.
Yeah.
With the one possible exception that I will tell you about now, which is the video game Rocksmith.
Yeah.
Because Rocksmith actually teaches you how to play guitar.
Sure.
And if you are diligent and you use Rocksmith diligently, you will actually become better at playing guitar. It won't make you great at playing guitar,
no.
But it's a means of encouraging practice for an actual thing that really exists. Because you, I don't know, if anybody's not familiar with Rocksmith, it's a game that is, I guess, sort of like Guitar Hero, except you use an actual your actual electric guitar, and then it you play along with tracks that get more complicated as you get better, and it keeps track of your performance. It slows everything down so that you can learn different parts. It's calling it a video game is sort of it's almost on the edge of not really being a video game and more being a tool for practicing and learning guitar.
Yeah.
But for that, it is absolutely fantastically great. And that is the one game that I can think of when we came up with this topic that has a tangible, actual benefit in my life that I have ever played is the fact that now when I pick up a guitar, I can play Cheap Trick's Surrender really, really well, where I had previously been unable to play Cheap Trick's Surrender. So I actually learned a skill that if you, there's any value in knowing how to play Cheap Trick's Surrender on a guitar, then I have gained that value through playing Rocksmith, which is probably the crowning achievement of video game design in all of human history, and maybe the crowning achievement of all of human history. Perhaps. I don't want to overstate it, but perhaps it is the greatest achievement of Western civilization, is Rocksmith, specifically playing Surrender by Cheap Trick.
Uh-huh. No, I mean, but that's... Rocksmith is a very clever way to teach people how to play guitar.
Right. And you think it's a game, though?
No.
I think it is, because it's got point. And then you got to be saying that Rock Band or Guitar Hero aren't games either.
They are, because they're not teaching you how to actually play instruments.
So, but why is Guitar Hero a game and Rocksmith isn't in your idea?
I think that Guitar Hero and Rock Band are trying to sell the experience, while Rocksmith is trying to sell the instruction and teaching. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what video games are. They're experiences. They are, you know, just these things that, you know, we escape with.
Other than the peripheral, mm-hmm. which in the case of Rocksmith is an actual guitar, they are identical. I mean, you start at an easy difficulty, hit the right button at the right time,
right.
along with music,
uh-huh.
and then it progresses in difficulty, you get points, you travel in an imaginary Rock Band to play different venues all around the world.
Yeah, and that's to help out with the appeal. I mean, Rocksmith is, I mean, okay, so I take it back. It is a video game. So it is an experience because, like, it, you know, you're not going to be able to, like, play shows, or maybe you will be. You know, maybe you're using Rocksmith to teach yourself how to play guitar. And, you know, you take those licks or those chords or, you know, progressions that you learn from Rocksmith and apply them to real life and in guitar and, you know, that. But I think that, you know, if you played Rocksmith for, like, a little bit and then put it down, you know, it's not that much of a experience. It's, and I'm not saying, like, you have to be able to, like, have a backlog to be a video gamer or for it to be considered a video game. It's just, like, the thing is, that's how everything works, though. If you're not good at something, and you want to be good at something, you'll work hard to get good at it. You'll keep on trying and keep on failing, but you'll learn from those mistakes, and you'll keep on working at it. Like I said at the start of the show, like, perseverance, determination, you know, if at first you don't succeed, you know, learning from your mistakes, all that stuff. So, I feel like Rocksmith is a game, yes, it does apply with a real guitar, but it's still that same principle of, you know, keep trying and get better at it.
You know what I just realized, though? This Rocksmith is instructive in proving or in illustrating the point that I was making earlier, which is that if you, becoming good at playing guitar is an actual obstacle, right?
Yes.
Like, that's a real-life thing.
Yeah.
Like achieving some mastery of a musical instrument,
right.
or some measure of competence at a musical instrument, that is a tangible thing.
Yeah.
That is not a game. It's something that you it's a discipline, right?
Yeah.
If you started playing Rocksmith with the idea of, well, I really am good at video games and I like overcoming challenges in video games,
yeah.
you would be sorely disappointed. And I don't know if this is true, but I don't imagine there are many guitarists who started out with Rocksmith, because you would quickly find that the actual craft of playing a guitar, no matter how you try to gamify it, is so difficult that you would not find it rewarding or fun enough to continue playing Rocksmith just because it's fun. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Like, I'm saying that playing a guitar is very, very difficult, okay?
But
and you can only do it, if you practice.
It is rewarding, and it is you know, something tangible.
Right.
I've played Rocksmith before. I didn't much care for it, but the amount that I did play did teach me how to play, and I could play songs, and I didn't need the game to do it outside of it. You know, I didn't need Rocksmith to play a song outside of Rocksmith. So, like, you know, I learned how to play a few songs here and there, a few licks, and you know, that was cool. But it's discipline. It is a discipline, and I think that it's very important for people to learn how to play a musical instrument, and you know, because music is a really important part of life. It's art, and for you to be able to like create art, whether it's music or writing or drawing.
But I'm saying you can't really. I'm saying you can't really gamify an actual real life challenge.
But
like, you just can't do it.
But they did though. They gamified learning guitar.
Yeah, but you know who plays Rocksmith? It's people who already play guitar.
That's not true.
I don't know anybody. Maybe I'm wrong, but again, I'll have to look into this a little bit.
Yeah.
of people who got good at Rocksmith who hadn't played guitar previously.
I did. I hadn't really played guitar previously. Like, I, you know, played it off and on, and I didn't really show much interest in it. But when I was charged with the task of writing a review for Rocksmith, you know, I played it, and I was able to complete songs. I was able to, you know, max out the score and the difficulty level on the songs, and I was able to play them all the way through.
Huh, I'll have to read your review sometime.
So, yeah, I'll link it to you.
Yeah, but definitely. Definitely send me the link. That's really interesting, because,
yeah.
Like, I was thinking about, like, how I was wondering if people who weren't really into guitar, it was my contention.
Yeah.
That there would be nothing rewarding in the experience of, like you said, you didn't like it though, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't, because of some of the mechanics that they chose to go with, like a live system for the section practicing. It didn't make any sense to me why I should be limited and punished for practicing a lick that I couldn't get down. That was a design flaw. I know that they've updated it, and there's like Rock Band 2014 or Rock Band 2 or Rocksmith 2 or Rocksmith 2014. Either way, like, they've updated it, and I'm sure that they made it more forgiving and more realistic with its practicing.
Right.
So that was my issue with Rocksmith. Otherwise, I thought that it was a pretty good tutorial on how to teach you how to play guitar. It's just those stupid mechanics that they added in that didn't make any sense.
Huh.
So that was a fault of the game designers, and not, you know, not anything else, because like the game taught me how to play guitar. It just did. And you know, when I was trying to work on certain things, like trying to work on like a certain section of a song, like for example, I was trying to play Icky Thump, and I was trying to do like the guitar lick that, you know, is the hook, and I tried doing that, and you know, I couldn't get it right, so I kept on like missing and messing up, so it would demote me to a section that I had already mastered. So I'd get through that, and then get back to the place where I was, and then, you know, I'd keep on messing up, and I couldn't really progress because of that whole demotion system, and I couldn't really work on that section and keep it at that section for very long, because, you know, when I tried to, like, go into the practice menu and select that section, it would punish me. Yeah, that's the problem with the game, is that it would punish me. Because it has to be a video game, and there has to be punishments and lives and all that stuff. No, it doesn't. I mean, I feel like the game was poorly designed in that aspect. So I didn't really like it, but it did teach me how to play guitar with the songs that I was able to play, I guess. But
that's interesting.
It does teach you how to play guitar. It is a tutorial and a teacher in that regard, and it does sort of sell the experience of being a guitarist with, like, sort of, like, animated people, you know, in front of you on a stage and whatever, but yeah, it's a game and it's not, so it's pretty interesting. But back to things from video games that we could take away. Let's talk about Minecraft.
Okay.
So Minecraft is huge, and it's amazing that it is this huge, because it's traveled via word of mouth. But the thing that everyone loves about Minecraft is its freedom that it offers, the ability to explore, solve puzzles, gather resources, figure things out, and it's just created this whole community of creators and designers. And
right.
the game has its set of rules and how things react and all that stuff, but people can figure out how to manipulate those to work for them and create something that, you know, they want to do.
But then is Minecraft a game? I mean, if what you get out of Minecraft is that you learn designing, that's not really a game. You're not really playing a game when you're designing something for Minecraft. Designing something.
It is. It is a game, and it's not, because you have to have your little guy survive. You have to fend off monsters and all this stuff. It is a game, and it's not. I don't think that, like, we have to classify something as a game. I think that the simple level of interactivity is enough to qualify it as a video game. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I think so. I think it's very basic, because to restrict it to something, you know, such as like what we qualify as a game, say like Mega Man or whatever, like if that's what qualifies as a game, then a lot of games wouldn't be games, because like I think that, like, because video games are art, right? Like, you would call them an art form.
I wouldn't call them an art form, but, you know, some people would. I personally wouldn't.
I would. I do consider them art, and I don't think that art needs restrictions or regulations or formats or anything like that. Games can do whatever they want to. And if
sure. But, you know, like, I'm in agreement there, but the word art has a specific definition, and I don't think video games fit into that definition. It doesn't. I'm not downing them at all. I'm just saying it's not. They're different things.
I don't know what I'm saying? No, I don't, because like art is a really broad term. It's an expression of the artist. So if they wanted to express a story where
if I make a sandwich, that's an expression of that's not an art, making a sandwich, it's a craft.
And what'd you put on that sandwich?
But I'm saying, well, you know, when I make a sandwich, it's an art. But when other people make a sandwich,
I mean,
it's
like
a craft.
You, everyone does something in their own particular way, you know?
But that doesn't make them artists.
I think so.
You gotta have some standards, man.
It's expression. It's an expression. They figured it out the way that they did. I mean, I think that, you know, games have the ability to express a story and also give the players, the audience, a level of expression.
You know what? If every expression is art, every personal expression is art, then there is no art, because then everything is art. So what's the point? Like, why even? Why even have a definition? That's what I'm saying. That's where I differ with people about when they talk about whether video games are art, because the word art has many definitions, but generally when people use it in terms of is something a work of art, they mean a specific, or they're referencing a specific definition of the word art.
Okay.
And usually they mean something along the lines of they're talking about fine art, mm-hmm. and that has a really specific definition, and it's not, it doesn't include video games yet. Maybe it will in the future, but right now it just doesn't.
I think that it will, and I think that video games have crossed that line into the realm of fine art. I think that there are several examples of video games that have been considered fine art by a lot of people.
Nah, there can't be art, because they're commerce, and commerce and art are incompatible.
True enough. I mean, they are mass produced, but
yeah, they're produced for, you know, like, intentionality has a lot to do with whether something. I mean, look, I'm sounding very pretentious about art, and I don't mean to be. I just mean that when people talk about fine art, they really are talking about a really specific thing, and it's not something that you can just decide that a guy like you or a guy like me can just decide, well, this thing is a work of fine art, because we don't get to make that determination. That's not our purview, and we're not in that world, and we don't have the background, and we don't have the expertise, and we don't have the knowledge, and we can't do that.
I guess, but so
it means nothing if I say Mega Man is a great work of fine art. Absolutely nothing to anyone, because what do I know about what's fine art? You know what I mean?
But Mega Man means something to you. It holds a special place in your heart. Like,
I know, but that's a different thing. I could say Mega Man is a very meaningful video game to me, and it really expresses a lot of what I believe about life. And I can go on and rhapsodize about the greatness of Mega Man all day.
Sure.
But that isn't going to make it a work of fine art. It's not going to make it you know, there's an airplane going over. But, we're just quibbling about the definition of the word art. And
okay.
I've always had the same idea about video games and art, which is I can't even understand why anybody would be interested in having the conversation. Who gives a shit? Like, what difference does it make if your hobby is regarded by the people who decide what things are art and what things are not as being on par with Rodin's The Thinker, or some work by Van Gogh. You know, like who cares? What difference does it make?
I mean, I care. I mean, like, I write on my blog all the time about like the value of video games and like what I take away from them and the things that I see in video games. I mean, like, it seems very simple and childish, but like, I just want video games to be taken seriously. I want people to stop.
By whom?
Everyone. Like, I feel like always, like, I'm so downtrodden by so many people. I feel like I'm so looked down upon because I play video games all the time. I love games,
really?
And I don't feel like I'm respected because of that. I don't feel like I should, I don't feel like I should, you know, have to deal with people thinking that they're better than me just because they don't play as many video games as me. Because because games are still defined as a waste of time. I see so many different things and so many different wonderful creations of and expressions of art, ideas, and various takeaways from video games that make them so worthwhile. Games bring people together. Games teach us things. And like I said, yeah, it is that, you know, determination, like, to overcome obstacles, to overcome challenges. Yeah, not many people do apply those, and not many people, like, you know, go out and are go-getters. They'd rather escape to their video games. But still, in those communities, in those worlds, in those challenges that they, you know, lose themselves in, they still teach themselves more about the game. They explore things, they experience things, and I think that that's really valuable and really awesome. So I don't think that, like, people should say, oh, you're wasting your time because you're playing so much World of Warcraft. You're interacting with people, you're doing something, you're working at something, you're becoming better at something, and I think that that is a valuable principle and a valuable thing. So I don't think that video games are a waste of time, and I'm so tired of people telling me or, like, giving me an air of superiority because I play video games and they don't.
But my thing is that, like, I don't think that video games are a waste of time or that they're not valuable. I just don't think they're art. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't,
okay.
It's just, they're not, those are two different things.
Yeah.
They're two different things that exist in the world. It's not like everything in the world that isn't art is not valuable. You know what I'm saying? Because almost everything that I enjoy is not art.
Yeah.
Almost all creative works that I consume are not actually art in the strict definition of the word. And I love all that stuff. And I don't feel like that definition of, I don't know. I don't know why anybody would, like, how many people go to art museums? You know what I mean? Like, hardly anybody. So who cares what is in art museums? You know?
I'm not saying that we need to put games in art museums to make them, you know, in high standards.
Right.
I just think that we need to do away with the stigma of the gamer image.
Do you think that there is such a strong stigma?
Yes.
How do you see that manifesting itself?
In things like Gamergate, in things like, you know, various television shows that are widely popular that have a character who is portrayed as a gamer being like just this sloven, useless character.
Right.
And, you know, we saw that in the movie Gamer, which was a dumb movie, but, you know, it still had that really profound, you know, image that, you know, people think of gamers, like the really fat guy in his motorized chair who is sweaty and, you know, just dunking waffles in syrup and then eating them, or like in various other, I think there was an episode of NCIS or something like that where, you know, the cops broke down the door because they heard some yelling and like these people were playing video games and they didn't bother to get up and answer the door or whatever, and yeah, those were really stupid and really, you know, not really thought through at all, but the wide popularity of that can affect, you know, many people. And so, like, oh, these guys play video games, this is what people must, I mean, because like stereotypes affect everyone, and they're like, so that's like what they see, but people who play video games are still functioning members of society, you know, they still, you know, contribute a lot and they still do things, and, you know, they're not those losers. Yes, those stereotypes do exist, but I feel like they're few and far between.
Well, yeah, but there's, you know, I agree. I mean, there's people who are total losers because they spend all their life, like, you know, worrying about their fantasy football team and, like, you know, like reading Sports Illustrated and talking to other people on internet message boards about
basketball
teams and all that stuff. Like,
is
losers
like
are
everything.
Losers, no matter what they're into.
I mean, that's true. That's very true. Because, like, you know, people can get hooked on anything, become passionate, and just, like, lose themselves in whatever. But, you know, it is a matter of self-control. Like, okay, so I'm going
to
play this.
Not to say that people who are way into something are losers because they're way into something.
Yeah.
But just often that losers... I don't even know what a loser is. I don't know why I'm talking about losers, because I don't even know... I guess you'd have to define what that is first. But I think there are people who are not served well as people by their immersion in the thing that they enjoy. But whatever thing that is totally arbitrary. So there are a lot of people who would be happier if they did something other than playing fantasy football all the time, but that's what they do. Or maybe people who would be more fulfilled or...
Yeah.
But then who am I to say who is fulfilled and who is not?
I think that a loser is someone who puts something before someone else, like an object. Like, if someone... Like, I've done this before where I put video games in front of my friends. You know, that was a poor decision, and I regret it. And I was a loser in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe someone has had that done to them. You know, and that's been left with them. Where
maybe it's not really about losers as much as it is about people that are unhappy.
I mean, that too.
Right. So, like, I think that there's a lot of people who are unhappy.
Yeah.
And the thing that they immerse themselves in because they are unhappy.
Yeah.
Is not constructive and is not going to ultimately make them happy.
Yeah.
It's just going to distract them from whatever problem they really have.
Yeah. It's,
which gets back to the original point, which is if the obstacle, if whatever obstacle you're facing, I believe that a lot of times, and not everybody, but I believe a lot of people play video games because they don't want to face whatever obstacle they have to face.
That's true.
And look, not facing, like I said earlier, not facing obstacles is pretty much what we do most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, everybody does that most of the time.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with not facing obstacles, and there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I can't deal with this right now, so I'm going to sit in a coffee shop and I'm going to read for a little bit, because that's what I'm going to do. Or I'm going to try to beat this level obsessively.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'm going to practice playing Surrender by Cheap Trick on my guitar, whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's part of the human condition, I guess, is that we don't face things, and we don't, you know, we like to avoid responsibility, and we like to avoid things that cause us pain. And who can argue with whether that's a good thing to do or not? But I think it gets to be a problem when the avoidance of, boy, I'm sounding like a psychologist today, of whatever pain you're trying to avoid is actually causing you more pain than the original problem was to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're having a very philosophical debate about video games today.
It's a very philosophical topic.
No, it is, because like I feel like given how many people play video games and the number of hours people play video games, it's taking over people's lives in a way that is like I'm totally not judgmental about. Like, I don't think they're taking over people's lives. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's really interesting to consider the way in which immersion in false worlds is going to affect people in this world, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, there are, like, that terrible, like, shooting that just happened in Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Like, by all accounts, the person who committed that crime was really isolated.
Yeah.
And seemed to get most of they were isolated and were spending most of their time in false realities
right.
You know, on the internet and whatever. And it's stupid to blame the false realities. Like, if it had been video games, it would be stupid to be like, well, the video games made him kill.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody's spending 10 hours a day in some fake world,
right,
and they're really isolated, you know, maybe there's some connection there.
Yeah, they're bound to snap. I mean, it's the NRA principle of guns don't kill people. You know, people kill
right.
people. And games don't do that either. I mean,
right.
Because games are structured the way that they are, you know, a lot with the violence and the killing and the whatnot. I mean, like, it is sort of like, you know, attacking a objective, attacking a obstacle where, you know, he has to overcome it, and he did it. But I don't know why. Like, it's purposeless. It is pointless, and it's insane. Yeah, he's unstable because he went out and did that, and, you know, I don't think that it was video games that, you know, made him do it. There was
right.
the compulsion of him performing this mass shooting was, you know, like, there's no reason for it. To call it uncalled for would be an understatement, but, like, there's no purpose to it.
Like, obviously nothing was accomplished, and there's
nothing was accomplished, and video games' role in this was...
But could one make the argument that if you take an isolated person and you put him in a very toxic environment where he spends all of his time, like some darker corners of the internet are, right? And the people in that, and the other people in that environment, encourage him to express his frustration through gunfire.
Yeah.
There is a point where you can go, hey, maybe all these people who are isolated and horrible should kind of be not gathering together to encourage one another to commit crimes.
But
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but one, how do you control that? And two, that's where all these isolated, terrible people gather. They find each other, and I mean, there's a lot of flack and a lot of vitriol that goes over the internet on Twitter, 4chan, Xbox Live, you know, anything, you know, League of Legends, where, you know, just these people are absolutely awful to one another. And, you know, over time, if this is like your obsession, your passion, where, like, you play a lot of multiplayer and you're interacting with these people who are just so caustic with their words and so terrible, like, it'll start to wane on you, and it'll start to wear on you and affect you in a way that, you know, you wouldn't think that it would do so before.
Right, yeah, I can totally see that. Like, if you surround yourself with dark things, you know, you're gonna have a dark outcome, and your outlook is going to get darker, and you know, you might do dark things, you know, so... But then it gets back to, like, then they're all right. All the people who say video games make people violent, in a sense, are completely right.
I don't disagree with you, honestly, because, yeah, the way that people act and the way that people talk on video games, where they say, like, the threats that people come up with, you know, like, I'm gonna break into your house and kill your mother or whatever, and, you know, just all these awful, awful, awful things that should not be uttered to anyone ever have been said 1,000 times over the internet. And this is the norm for video games.
Right.
This is what we've come to expect. We talked about this in the last last episode with Kevin Kelly about how Gamergate has been just this way. And this is the now image of gamers. And this is what people come to expect from video games. I think that, I'm not saying that video games are any kind of, like, holy relic or anything that like that, but they are certainly above the way that their audience acts. They are not intended to produce this kind of behavior.
Right.
And yet, they do. People act out violently. My brother, who we've had on the show before, is a very calm, cool, and collected guy, but when he sits down in front of Modern Warfare 2, he's a different person. He's violent. He yells. He curses. This is not the person who my brother is.
Right.
But video games bring this out in each other. The thing is, like, we have to be able to recognize what's going on. And we have to be able to humble ourselves enough to seek help. Or gather the strength to seek help. To reach out beyond ourselves to get better. That's what's happened with me and my travels and my, you know, journey through life. You know, where I've had to, you know, humble myself to go seek help because I realized that I was isolating myself with video games. And while I was learning a lot from them, you know, it wasn't quite enough. I think that, you know, it's good to surround yourself with, I mean, obviously it's very good to surround yourself with positivity and stuff like that, because, like, I play a lot of different video games that, you know, there's a lot to be taken away from them. But it is a very isolating experience, you know, And even if I have like a friend next to me watching me or something like that, like it's very rare that happens though, because you know I tend to lead a very isolated life. That's that's me though, and you know I feel like that's a lot of gamers though, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that's an issue, but like, how isolated is it? How isolating is it to like read books all the time? You know.
Yeah, it's very isolating. Totally.
Yeah, I mean, like that's. To put it in terms that I can understand, it's a very single player experience, man.
Sure.
Like, I mean, that's you're by yourself, and you know it's good to read books and it's good to you know think about things and you know sort of wander and you know think about the ideas and ideals from that book and that work of literature. But you know it's I don't know it's different. And wow, this conversation has taken quite the.
I know, right?
Twist, and that's fine that we're talking about it like this, but you know, I still think that there's a lot to take away from games. I think that games can be very positive, albeit you know, isolating. I mean, one of my favorite games is Dragon Age, and I've heard so many different stories of how Dragon Age has saved people's lives and you know brought them out of a spat of depression or anxiety. Where, you know, they had that significance to change the world around them, or they had characters that they could talk to. That's a very positive thing to be able to, like, feel that again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that they were able to take that experience, that confidence of being able to talk to, you know, their party members or people in the world to help them out, you know, to the real world where they're like, okay, you know, I can do something. I can accomplish something. You know, I think that's a really great thing, and I think that games have inspired that in a lot more people than, you know, can tell the story. They've done that for me, where,
right.
You know, I've had difficulty facing things, you know, and just, like, after, like, playing games for a little while and thinking about it, and like, you know, if I could do it in this game, you know, if I can overcome this challenge, you know, if I fight these dragons, you know, that are in my head and, you know, in this game, you know, working together with my friends, or, you know, setting out and actually just doing it, you know, moving forward and trying to accomplish something, you know, I can overcome it. So, like, I've written on my blog before about Dragon Age Inquisition and how, like, you know, you need to have, like, your party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of RPG games, not just, that was redundant. There's a lot of RPGs out there, not just Dragon Age Inquisition, where like you have a multitude of characters, but you can only take like three or four of them with you at a time. So that's kind of like, that's kind of restricting. It doesn't seem fair, but at the same time, like when you look at your life and you look at the friends and the company that you keep, like you have a close circle of friends. Those are the people that you trust to help you through these things, right?
Like, right.
These are your close circles of friends, and you know they help you fight these dragons and overcome these challenges. So I feel like that's really important to, like, take away from games, you know? I think that's a good example of, like, what we can learn from games, and I think that several people have, you know, with Dragon Age and various other RPGs.
There you go.
So
cool.
I think that's, you know, just one of the many things. I could talk about this, like, the whole time. Like, I could talk about, like, Journey, the game by That Game Company for the PS3, and now on PS4. That looks really pretty on PS4 if you've seen any footage. But that game, you know, it's a very blank slate. It's very open for interpretation, which I think that makes it kind of, like, more artistic than any other game, because, like, people can interpret it as different things. People can interpret it as, like, because it's essentially just the hero's journey, but in a very linear fashion, where, like, you know, adversity, adventure, you know, all this stuff, where, like, you know, he has his highs, he has his lows. And, you know, to that, you know, to many people, that can be a lot of different things. So, like, in the section where you're kind of, like, surfing and sliding through the sands, you're having a lot of fun, and it doesn't really occur to you that you're going in a downward direction until you fall into the pit where everything's just dark and, you know, shafts of light, you know, shine through. But, like, overall, like, you feel very oppressed by the darkness, and you're in this dark place. A lot of people go through dark places. I was in a dark place, and I played through Journey, and, like, this made it seem more I guess, more real, more tangible. It visualized it in a way that, you know, I could understand and identify where I was and how I was feeling. I think that games, you know, very specific games in my case, have helped me through a lot. In Shadow of the Colossus, you know, those are really big monsters and they're absolutely epic to fight until I get to the one that's the eel, the big eel that's underwater. I have a fear of the deep. I have a fear of the ocean and the giant monsters that are actual and real and there. But, you know, this game forced me to fight it. It forced me to face my fears and stand up to it directly. And so through that, I felt like I grew because I was able to fight this thing, you know, albeit in a video game. But, you know, I felt like, hey, I was afraid of this, and now I'm not so much anymore because I overcame this. And I think that, like, games, if they did more of that, if they presented more challenges, if they presented more things that could be more, I guess, ethereal? No, not really. But, you know, if they presented more, like, abstract challenges that, you know, we could sort of apply and interpret in ways that, you know, we could take with us, I think that people could, like, really appreciate games a lot more. And because games have done that before, but I want to see it done more. I want to see it more than just, like, kill the bad guys. I want to see more options than the shotgun or the sniper rifle. You know, I want to be able to, like, play around and experiment and try something different, you know? Because I think that, like, with that as well, you know, because, like, in Dragon Age, I always play the rogue, but now I'm going to try it again and go as the mage, and that's something different. I think that, like, games, like, allow for that. Games allow for experimentation, trying something different. Dragon Age and various other BioWare games show us the consequences of our choices. Most of the times we'll end up in the same spot, but we have a different experience. And, you know, we play things differently. Even in something as simple as Call of Duty, where we flank left or flank right, use the sniper or the shotgun, you know, we have different playstyles, different ways in which we solve things. And for that, I think that games are beautiful because they allow us that agency to overcome these obstacles and the agency to make choices to help overcome our challenges and obstacles. I think these are the takeaways that we can get from video games.
There you go.
So,
all right. I think on that note, we should close out our conversation about this.
Thanks for letting me monologue, and I hope that
worries, man. It was awesome.
I hope that you took away something from that and have a different appreciation for video games, because that's me. That's where I stand on video games. That's what I've been thinking about games for, like, the past 3 years now. Because, like, ever since I heard that video games were art, or that people were considering games to be art, I thought about it more. And that just, like, changed everything. Like, that same, like, that small phrase of games as art, like, that changed my perspective on them. And so I started looking at games differently. So that was, yeah, that's where everything changed for me. But, yeah. So I think with that, we can close this episode
of
Young Geek. So thank you so much for listening. Also, while you're still listening, while I have your attention, shout outs to Super Hungry the Podcast, my sister-in-law podcast. I mean, yeah, so check out that podcast. She talks with all of her artist friends. It's a podcast for the not-so-starving artist.
And there you go, and if you listen in a couple of months, there will be a guest named Steve Johnson.
And Scott Pell.
Virginia has asked me to... there you go, see?
Yeah, I'm going to be there too, dude. It's going to be Old Geek, Young Geek, X, Super Hungry, the podcast.
There you go, awesome.
It'll be good times.
Cool.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. Keep listening to our podcast. We thank you so much for your love and support. Share us around. Tell your friends. And we'll see you all next time.
Yeah, now I'm going to go play some Cheap Trick.
Woo!